It's Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploring the word.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
Well, happy Friday, America. Good afternoon, wherever you may be. Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper, and you were listening to the American Family Radio Network. This is Exploring the Word, very special day of the week. We call it Fire Away Friday. And what we do is we take your calls and questions, all the hour. So if you've ever wanted to raise your hand during a sermon, now's your chance. Here's the number, and you can get in the queue and call. It's 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840, and we'd love to hear your question.
We really would, and I want to read a passage of Scripture today while we're waiting on the calls, and we're looking forward to that, hoping everybody has a great weekend worshiping the Lord, and let church be a part of your choices that you make. But listen to this. This is one that I love, and it says in Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Alex, listen, he is. We need to look unto him. We need to trust him. And he is ready. And so I pray that today, if there's anyone out there that's just having difficulty, hard times, and they do come, they're a part of life, they'd look unto the Lord. That's our prayer for them, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And, you know, I've always loved that psalm, lifting up our eyes, because really every day, I mean, just waking up and being given another day, navigating and making it through the day, we draw our strength from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And let me just say to anybody listening, if you're having a hard day or a stressful day, call out to the Lord. He's with you. Jesus Christ is for you. Matthew 6, verse 8 is a great promise. He knows what we need even before we ask. But God, it honors God when we ask, because he is our source.
Amen.
You know, Bert, I think we forget about that. We, you know, we get up and do our thing and have our day. But listen, if it weren't for the Lord giving us life, giving us health, keeping us going, giving us opportunity, being our provider, I mean, every meal we enjoy, every breath we draw, really are gifts from God, aren't they?
They really are. I want to tell this story real quick, and we'll get to Randy from Texas next. But I love this story, and I've told it before, but new people listen. But there was this little girl whose parents did not go to church or Sunday school. So the neighbors asked, could I take her to Sunday school? And they said, okay, go ahead. It'll be 2 hours out of our day when she's not here. So she took her to Sunday school, and they learned to be thankful and to even ask the blessings. So when she came back home, her mom had cooked the meal and prepared it, and they sat down, and they were going to just start eating. The little girl said, I found out from Sunday school I need to be thankful for this. Could I ask the blessing and thank God? And they said, go ahead. And then, how you can do, Lord, we thank you for the peas, we thank you for the potatoes, thank you for the bread and the tea, the fresh tomatoes, you know, right. She went through it all. And when she was through, you know, the dad thought he'd teach her something, said, hon, don't you know, it was me that worked and purchased these things, and it was me that grew those tomatoes in the garden, and it was your mom that put them on the table. Don't you understand that? And the little girl said, yes. And she bowed her head and says, God, thank you for mom and daddy. And so let's be thankful. There's nothing that takes the place of gratitude, a thankful heart. So anyway, with that in mind, Alex, you ready to go to the phone lines?
Let's do. The number is 888-589-8840. Toll free if you have a Bible question, call us.
Okay, Randy from Texas. Randy, thank you for calling today.
Thank you for taking my call, and I want to give my gratitude to you and your ministry for what you do every day.
Well, thank you, Randy. So, listen, it is God has opened this door for Alex and myself, and we just thank God that we'll be faithful and true in doing it. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. This is a subject I'm sure you've talked about before, and it's wine in the Bible. And we all know that wine is part of the communion. It represents the blood of Christ in the cracker. But yet in the Bible, it seems there are scriptures that seem to put wine in a bad picture, but in others, it seems to be a good blessing from the Lord. And I'll give you an example, just two scriptures that are a little different. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That sounds negative to me. But then if you turn over to Psalm 104, which is a psalm that talks about God's blessings for example, the grass to the cattle and the food for human beings. In verse 14 and 15, I'll just read it real quick. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for man's cultivation to bring forth food from the earth. And in verse 15, and wine, which makes man's heart glad to make his face glisten more than oil. So can you explain to me, is wine good or bad, or does it matter? Is it how people use it? Because being brought up as a Baptist, wine was always looked upon as negative.
Randy, thank you for your good question. I want to share with you. Let me add one to it. Paul would say to Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. Alex, not everything in that day was clarified or pure, and it's that way in some countries. I know some guys that were missionaries, and they went to some backwoods areas and some very difficult things. No water there that was good to drink. There would be germs, bacteria all in it, and there was wine there. And so, but we know the misuse is wrong. That is a sin. The 11th commandment is not, thou shalt not drink any alcohol, but it gives dangers and it gives limits, I think. How about you, Alex?
Yeah, and you know, the Bible, I mean, clearly, I believe that when Jesus turned water to wine at Cana of Galilee, that was real wine. I mean, that was fermented grape juice. But you know, it's interesting, there is the Mishnah, which are Jewish teachings that were handed down for hundreds of years and really kind of codified almost 2,000 years ago. The Mishnah teaches that the Jews in the wilderness would boil grape juice to prevent fermentation, or if fermentation had taken place, to sort of minimize, or even, I don't know if they could boil it out of it. But at any rate, there was grape juice as a beverage that was not fermented, regardless of what means they did to achieve that. There was, you know, grape juice as a beverage, not fermented, and then there was wine, but even the wine was to be experienced with the strongest possible warnings against the abuse. In fact, you know, Paul to Timothy talked about it in a medicinal sense, you know, and I think when Paul said, take a little wine for your stomach's sake, I think that was really almost like a medicine, certainly not something to be abused. One thing we clearly know, and Bert, I know there have been different Christians with different convictions about this, but categorically, drunkenness is a sin and is forbidden. You know, I just think that really, for a lot of reasons, and I'm not a legalist, I'm really not a legalist, but I think it can compromise your witness for Christ. You know, I don't know, I just think it's dangerous. You know, but that in Europe, I've been to Europe, and Christians over there, it's not like it is here in America. Christians freely drink, but I don't know that alcohol abuse is quite the same as it's been here in America. I will say this, I'll throw it back to you. Alcohol is a multi-billion dollar business, but there's been a pretty, the human cost that's gone with that has been immeasurable, hasn't it?
It has. If you've pastored as long as I have, over 50 years now, man, I've been at it and see the heartache, the damage, the death, that alcohol has caused. I just want to tell you the wisest thing you can do is what Proverbs says, is be wise about it. And with water that is pure, medicine that we have, and the joy that we can have in Jesus Christ, I don't see the purpose of it in a Christian's life. I'll just put it that way, Alex. I'll leave, and I am biased against it. I come to it that way. Right now, I can say I know the damage that it does. It is horrible. It is severe.
And one of the very first funerals, Bert, forgive me for interjecting, but I did a funeral 20 years ago. The local funeral home called me, and it was two boys in a car. And they were like 18 or 19, had graduated high school. One was headed off to college, but they wrapped a car around a tree. They were two or three times the legal limit drunk. And I'm telling you, that will change your perspective.
You who are out there that's young enough, that's never started, I wouldn't start. Those of you that are participating lightly, I would quit, because here's what you do. And I know we're spending a lot of time on this because I think it's a dangerous issue. What you do under stress is turn to that which is familiar. You want the safety. You want it. And I've seen it I've seen it dozens of times, that men and women that had broken off because of their past, they hadn't completely dealt with it. When the things got rough, there's a tendency to go back to it, and alcohol and drugs, especially alcohol, is one of those. Randy, I know we spent a lot of time on that, but maybe it's helped some people make up their mind to say, I'm going to be wise. I'm going to be wise and trust the Lord. Thank you, brother. Let's go to Pennsylvania and talk to Samuel. Samuel, thank you for calling.
Shalom to you, everybody.
Yes.
Both of you are incredible in what the Lord has done through your lives. In personal testimony, I wish I am in your area to attend your services, but I am here. Anyway, question is, we all know we are saved by grace and by the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
What? This is my question, and I have been to many rabbis and to Catholic priests and to pastors, and I don't have a solution. I don't have an answer that can satisfy. Question is, what Ananias, Caiaphas, and the Sanhedrin and the Pharisee did after the third day when our Lord resurrected by the power of the Holy Ghost? And 500 other witnesses resurrected to what they did. What Pilate did in comparison to what the cowards see of him trying to free Jesus, but then, oh, wait a minute, did you free Jesus? Then you are not a friend of Caesar, et cetera, et cetera. He was turning into two sides, and I believe Pilate was believing in his heart.
Okay, Samuel, thank you. I think we got that. Alex, you got enough? And
yeah,
we'll hold the
so.
Answer on the other side of the break. You're listening to Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio Network. Bert and Alex with you today on Fire Away Friday. And if you want to get in the queue, that number is 888-589-8840. We'll be right back. Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Bert Harper, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard that sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network Clinic saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work.
I know the only reason all because I'm worthy. It's all because of mercy. There's no way that I could earn it. Praise God, my debt is paid. It's not because I'm worthy. It's all because of mercy.
Amen. We get that one. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, God's mercy. Welcome back to the program. It's Exploring the Word. The number is 888-589-8840. And we've got a caller on the line. Hey, could we restate that question from right before the commercial, please?
Go ahead, Samuel. Samuel, go ahead with your question. Yeah.
Yeah, the Sanhedrin, the people who crucified the Lord, all the drama that was there, what they did, do we have any explanation from Josephus, Erasmus, Flavius, or Eusebius, or anything like that? Because after the resurrection, 500 were resurrected with the Lord. Pilate knew what's happening, so any reaction from them or anything that is written?
Okay, I think we got it, Alex. Let me make this, and I'll throw it to you, Alex. A lot of times, Samuel, people make willful choices when the evidence is there, but desiring not to face it, they believe the lie. And they chose. The evidence of the resurrection is real. They knew it, but they did not want to. It's usually for a reason, Alex, and most of the time it has something to do with power or money. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, and like the caller mentioned, there were up to 500 eyewitnesses after the resurrection. Paul records this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The caller said, what would they have done? Okay, so you've got to understand, the Sanhedrin was this council of 70 men. They were scholars. You know, literally what the name means is the sitting, S-I-T-T-I-N-G. So the Sanhedrin were people that sat around and thought up, you know, the operations of the temple, but they were, you've got to understand, in Jewish life, I mean, they were so authoritative and they wielded a lot of influence. But, you know, Bert, in the book of Acts, you know, they were debating. They said, what are we going to do? The whole world has gone after this man, Jesus. And wouldn't that be great if the whole world did follow Jesus? And do you remember what Gamaliel said, that, hey, look, we better back off, because if Jesus is the Savior, we're fighting against God. But if the, you know, if he wasn't, it'll fizzle out. So let's just leave it alone. And somebody said, hey, are you following him as well? But the Sanhedrin and the religious authorities that call for the crucifixion of Jesus, I mean, their authority was severely compromised, and even so to this day. And by the way, you know, 40 years later, of course, Rome would ransack Jerusalem, and in March of 70 AD, Israel ceased to exist. But I think they made a decision that sealed their doom and irrelevancy ultimately, Bert.
I do too. And it was willful. It was not based upon what they observed and saw and heard. It was based upon a willful choice against that. And let me just urge, don't you do that concerning Christ. Turn to him. Turn to him quickly. Thank you, Samuel, and keep listening, brother. Let's go to Mississippi. Jerry, thank you for calling.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to speak with y'all. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Question I have for you is, I have a Dr. Jeremiah King James Bible, study Bible, enjoying it immensely, but I need a really good study guide. I need an education, if you will. Do you have any suggestions?
Is this for the whole Bible, or sections of it, or parts of it, or subject?
All of the above.
Okay. Alex, you got any off the top of your head?
Well, let me say this, and first of all, I commend you for desiring to study the Bible and to know God's Word. I mean, if there's anything that Bert and I stand for, it's integrating God's Word into our life. And I'm glad you've got one of the David Jeremiah study Bibles. I love study Bibles. I really do. And I love to recommend them. And I own quite a few study Bibles. There's one, and you could, the beautiful thing, some of these resources that we recommend, you can find them on eBay or somewhere for just really inexpensively. But Liberty University put out a study Bible. In fact, I've got one right here. I'm going to tell you a little publishing secret. The Liberty Annotated Study Bible. Hundreds and hundreds of notes. It's really good. But if you look at Thomas Nelson, this is identically the same as one called the Believer's Study Bible. Really great. Then, let me recommend a book. And it's called To Understand the Bible, Look for Jesus. Now, this was written by Norman Geisler, G-E-I-S-L-E-R, just a really great scholar. He's in heaven now. Bert, just a basic how you see Jesus in every chapter, on every page. To Understand the Bible, Look for Jesus. You could probably find that book very inexpensively, almost anywhere. And one more thing that I'm going to throw out there, and this is kind of off the beaten track, but it's phenomenal. Henry Morris. Bert, did you ever hear of Dr. Henry Morris?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
He was a creationist, a highly, highly educated man, and a great scholar. He did something called the Defender's Study Bible. And it came out, I don't know, 20 years ago, and it's an apologetics Bible. And yes, there are hundreds and hundreds of notes explaining the verses, but there are many appendices. And there are these very short chapters about, like, biblical worldview and defending the faith and how archaeology proves the Bible. And again, you're not going to spend a ton of money. I don't know. I bet you could go online and find it. But Dr. Henry Morris, the Defender's Study Bible. Those are just some resources that I think you'll be stronger in the Word than probably most pastors.
Okay. Jerry, let me recommend something. Just study guides. And one, you can go to Lifeway.com. Lifeway.com. Lifeway's one word. And there's an area there for Bible studies. And there's some called Bible Studies for Life. And you can go through that, and you can scroll and find out maybe the area you want to start with. It has age groups, and I'm looking at it right now. And you can look at that, and I think you could find something that might help you and aid you in addition to the Bible studies Bibles, the study Bibles. But they're great. And so anyway, I hope that helps. Jerry, thank you, man, and keep digging in the Word. Let's go to Arkansas. Karen, thank you for calling.
Hi, I sure enjoy your program since I've moved here a year and a half ago. I've enjoyed your program. You are so knowledgeable. Somebody said on the radio the other day about, it said, I've always believed once you become a Christian, your name is written in the Book of Life. And they said something about it being written in ages past. Now, what is that? What are they talking about?
Okay. Let me share this, and I'll throw it to Alex. Alex, you've got some different record keepings in the Bible, the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life. Are they different, or is it just they leave off the lambs and all of it's the Book of Life? What do you recognize in that?
Well, you know, the Bible is a little bit vague on this, and some have wondered if everybody's name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, but it gets blotted out as they reach the age of accountability and sin, and then you come back to Jesus and your name is put back in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know exactly. I know one of the very famous scriptures about this is in Revelation chapter 22, and it says, you know, that the books were opened, and whosoever was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. And so I'll put it this way, and this is, I can guarantee how you can know that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life by praying and putting your faith in Jesus, you know?
Amen.
What do you believe about this? It says that the books were opened. And men were rewarded or punished according to their deeds. And whosoever was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. So how God keeps all of his records, I'm not saying that I completely know, but here's the thing. You can guarantee that your name is in the book of salvation or the Lamb's Book of Life by putting your faith in Jesus.
He knows those who are his. That's the bottom line, Karen. God knows those who are his. He knows our heart. He knows our heart better than we do. And once we come to know Jesus Christ and we do follow him, we are saying, we're yours. Alex, I've been looking for the word, and I still think the word is surrender. You can say it any way you want. What did I do as a 12-year-old boy? Yeah, I trusted Jesus. I asked him to forgive my sin. But what I did, I surrendered to him. Yeah. And I said, Lord, I am yours. You died for me. So if you'll surrender your life to him, and after that, the Bible says you've been bought with a price. The price has been paid for you. Walk with him. And Alex, knowing Jesus Christ, you're in the book of life that matters, the Lamb's Book of Life. And whether it was all written and the ones that didn't trust him were written out and yours remained, make sure yours is in the book of life. Karen, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Let me say this, Karen. Glad you moved to Arkansas so you could get a radio station. Go ahead, Alex. And
probably the definitive passage on this would be Revelation 20, 12 through 15. Revelation 20, 12 through 15. I would encourage people to read that.
Okay. Thank you again, Karen. Let's go to Oklahoma. Tyrone, thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just have a question, and like the Bible, it seems to be revealed so much when you, any situation that comes up, if you look at it in that standpoint, it seems like it's nothing new under the sun. But however, there's a church that I know of that seems to be preaching false doctrine, and also when I confronted the person involved, I was looking for a biblical, reply, but instead I was shown a paperback written by some rabbi based on a certain fact, and that didn't line up with the Bible issue whatsoever. And I tried to leave on good terms. I just left it up to the Holy Spirit, but after I left there, nobody seemed to know anything, but they just was in lock agreement with everything that was said. And so I got tired of being, criticized when I was just, saying that didn't jive with them. So I just left there, but I've been wondering, and when people ask why I left, I just don't give a reason, but I'm just wondering, am I just leaving those that they're in harm's way that still remain in the congregation?
Tyrone, thank you for calling. I just want to tell you, sounds like you're a Christian gentleman. I'll put it that way, Alex. But
amen.
Let me give you a big thing that's taken place in the last few years, and that's the United Methodist Church. And thousands of those churches that had invested themselves in the ministry of a great ministry in the past found them wavering biblically, and just they had that way, and they tried to correct it. They could not, and thousands have left, Alex. There is a time to leave, Tyrone. I think you do leave as a Christian, but sometimes, Alex, if it's false doctrine and people ask you, I believe you need to give a reason for the answer that is in you. I think that is one of the things. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, there is a time theologically to walk away, dust your feet off and walk away. And there are preferential things, the color of the carpet or things like that, that we're just not going to lose any sleep over. But if it's Jesus, the one and only Savior, Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross, rose from the dead, shed his blood to wash our sin away. And I would say this, Bert, because the Bible is God's word, what the Bible says about creation, what the Bible says about morals, marriage, the human race, gender. And, yeah, even, you know, our fidelity to the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. Genesis 12 talks about standing with Israel, but then even Romans 1:16 talks about that the gospel is to go to the Jewish nation. I've had preachers say that, well, the Jews are saved because they're Jewish. No, the Bible says that all people to go to heaven, we must be born again. So, Bert, I think that's one of the blessings that you and I have tried to, and we give God the glory, but we've tried to set out the what are the theological non-negotiables, and what are areas where we can give grace and give space. And I don't think we should ever be cruel or rude to anybody, but there are times that I've had to say to some even one-time friends, you know, I have to stand where the Bible stands. God's Word says this, there's no Savior but Jesus, marriage is between a man and a woman. I love you, brother, you're in my prayers, but the Bible is God's Word, not you and I with our opinions.
Amen. It is. Tyrone, we hope you've found a great church that preaches the Word, stands on the Word, that's missional, and has that fellowship that is so important to be with Christ. Hey, we got the last segment coming up. We've got people that's called in. We can't wait to get to their questions. Don't go away as we discuss more about what God says.
The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Lately I've been wrestling with everything, 'cause everything seems hard. Been caught up in the worry and anxiety, keeps tearing me apart. But I've been down and out before, and every time I cry out to the Lord, He meets me in my need. I've seen and I believe.
God is good all the time. What a great song. God is good all the time. Hey, we're going to resume phone calls. The number is 888-589-8840. Bert, let me remind everybody, please be in prayer. We've been having a great speaker series all summer long in Myrtle Beach. We just had Gary Chapman not long ago, but coming up, I know this is a ways off, but we have Charlie Kirk, August 21. And if you happen to be in the Myrtle Beach area, just a great place to vacation, it's becoming a great place to get some biblical worldview training. My website is alexmcfarland.com/conversations. And also, Bert, I'm going to be over the weekend tweeting out some pictures. We had our youth camp in Georgia this week. Kids getting saved, kids getting grounded in God's Word. That's what it's all about, isn't it, Bert? To know Christ, to pass the gospel on to upcoming generations, and our nation to be changed by people following the Lord.
Amen.
And so I hope you're a part of that, everybody.
Amen. I'll be preaching at Ozark Baptist Church, where I'm interim pastor. And it starts at 11 o'clock close to Marietta, Mississippi, here in northeast Mississippi. Love for you to be there. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love to see you there. Let's go to the phone lines and go to Virginia. Joy, thank you for calling.
Oh, good. Thank y'all so much for taking my call. Mine's a little, I think this is Ask for the Book Day. I have a nephew who was raised Mormon. I've been working with all of my family who's not Christian, and I truly believe he's become a Christian, and he's just devouring, you know, books and Bibles, and he actually bought one with a Greek and Hebrew translation because he wanted to see word for word that he was getting the right thing. Well, now he's going through classes in the Catholic Church. And so he's talking about things for church history. For example, the Catholics didn't add books to the Bible, what I would call the Apocrypha, but the in the Council of Trent, it was taken it out. Well, I've never really studied church history, so I was looking for a book to give me a background on that so I could have conversations with him.
Thank you, Joy. Great. Alex, in college and seminary, besides the Bible teaching classes that I had from my professors, my second favorite was church history. I love history, and I had great stuff. So there's some church history books out there. Have you got some you'd recommend to Joy?
Yeah, let me recommend a couple of books. And Bert and I, we kind of have this understanding. We never recommend a book that we ourselves have not read at least once. So when we come across really good resources, we enjoy recommending those. And so what you've got here, ma'am, there's not only church history, but there's also some of the theological history that's important. That being said, I'm going to recommend an author, and this is InterVarsity, IVP is on the spine, InterVarsity Press, Dr. Rick Cornish, C-O-R-N-I-S-H. I've recommended these to so many people. Okay, one is called The 5-Minute Church Historian. The 5-Minute Church Historian, super good, and in about 225 pages, he goes over like all sorts of happenings in the history of the church that are very significant, from Christ's resurrection, Pentecost, through the early church era, the councils, up through the Middle Ages, the Protestant Reformation. So Dr. Rick Cornish, The 5-Minute Church Historian, but there's another one that goes with it called The 5-Minute Theologian. And it's written in very simple language, super-duper easy to read. The 5-Minute Theologian, Bert, he talks about throughout church history some of the theological struggles up to the present day, like how do we know Jesus is the Son of God? What about the church? What about Israel? What about things like the canon of Scripture? And even in the more modern era, in the 1800s, was the birth of Christian, similar to Christianity, but actually heretical, like the Jehovah's Witness, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the LDS, that deny one or more core doctrines. So there's so many I could name. You'll probably find these online, very, very economical. Dr. Rick Cornish, The 5-Minute Church Historian, and I would also recommend The 5-Minute Theologian.
Let me recommend something, and it's really not a church history book. I had those, and they were, technical, and I loved them in school. But anything that you can read about Peter Marshall, like From Sea to Shining Sea, about church in America, and how it affected, it'll be good too, Joy. Now, it's probably not going to answer a lot of those questions, but after you get those and you want something to see how God has involved himself in our lives, those are good as well. Thank you, Joy, and we pray for you to keep on ministering to your family. That's awesome. Let's go to Texas and talk to Eric. Eric, thank you for calling.
Yes, I had a comment. I've been walking with Lord for 44 years.
Amen.
And in about my second or third year, I really got a hunger for the Word. And, you know, I mean, I've got 1,000 books probably, and I just really wanted to eat it up. Well, one day I went in and laid down, and I wasn't asleep. I think I was just in between. And all of a sudden, I had an experience. And in my mind's eye, my soul came up out of my body. And when it did, I had this feeling of intense pleasure. It's like it was a whole body experience where every cell became alive to God. And it was very humbling. I didn't talk about it for years because I didn't know what it was. But as I learned about the Latin enrapture and the Greek catching away, I realized that the Greek talks about the act of catching away and the Latin describes the feeling of being caught up.
Well, you know, Alex, one thing about Paul, you know, he was caught up in the third heaven, and he says this, whether in this body, I do not know, spirit, I do not know, only God knows. There are some things that can happen to us experientially, okay? Mm-hmm. I know there's a time in my life when I said, okay, God, I got to know. I wasn't doubting my salvation, but I was wanting to have all of God there was. I didn't want to miss out. And I said, God, whatever you have for me, this is what I want. I did my best to say, Lord, I'm yours. And I want to just tell you, God's Holy Spirit just filled me. And that it's a feeling of ecstasy that I had. But I remember getting up from it, just praising God. Next thing I knew, I was out there witnessing to people about God's grace. Let me say this, Alex, and I want you to follow up. Anything that experiential like that, okay, that you have that, and I understand the Latin and the Greek, it should be followed by a life choice of sharing your life with others. Alex, go ahead, take it away.
Yeah, you know, our encounters with the Holy Spirit and getting before God, or, you know, because we all, you know, Martin Luther, the great reformer, said that every day of our life is lived coram Deo, in other words, in the presence of God with whom we have to do. We have experiences. I've had just amazing experiences feeling the joy of the Lord and just thinking about how good God is. But you want to make sure that anything, you know, harmonizes with Scripture. You know, what you described about kind of almost like an out-of-body experience, Charles Spurgeon was a great Baptist preacher in the 19th century, and he talked about that he had an experience. He was praying, and he felt the presence of God, and he kind of almost left his body, and he felt like he was in the presence of God, not even on earth anymore. And he said it was so intense, and he said it, he wanted to shout with joy and weep all in one. And he said, I'll never forget these words, he said, I had to pray and ask God that he would stay his hand.
Yeah.
Because in the presence of Christ, it was so intense. He said he just didn't think he could even live, you know. Now, maybe Spurgeon got a little glimpse of heaven. Maybe you did. The only caution I would give is make sure that any subjective experience lines up, squares up with the objective Word of God.
Amen.
I love joy. Bert, about 3 weeks ago, we had finished our Montana camp, and we had about 4 dozen kids get saved, and it's 4 a.m, and I'm driving to the Rapid City, South Dakota airport, and I was out there, didn't meet a car for 3 hours, and the sun was coming up, and I was just praising God for the beauty of His creation. And the Goodmans came on the radio. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again.
Amen. I'm serious. Yeah.
I was weeping with joy. I was like, Lord, you are so good. You're so good.
Yeah.
But hey, feelings are part of our Christian experience. But let's just make sure that those emotions and feelings always line up with what God's clear objective Word says.
And that's why you want to spend time in the Word. Because those experiential feelings do not take the place of being grounded in the Word of God. Alex, when those line up, listen, you're ready to do great things for God. I really believe that with all my heart. Certainly did the Apostle Paul. And I would say Spurgeon as well. Let's go to Alabama. Justin, thank you for calling.
Hey guys, saw Alex not too long ago at the conference with my daughters. Anyways, I was just calling to kind of just spin off of one of the first callers' comments about the wine, and I was just going to comment that, you know, I would throw marijuana in there too. You know, even though marijuana is not listed in the Bible, you know, I tried to carry on with the marijuana and try to justify it for so long, but really all I was doing is just hanging on to my own desires.
Yeah.
And, wow. You know, with like, you know, I've been to prison 3 times, you know, I used to be an IV user, you know, and I just hanged on, I got rid of all of those things, you know, and just hung on to the marijuana. Excuse me, I'm breathing hard. I've just been painting outside and like,
I know it's hot
here, guys.
Justin, your testimony is clear. And listen, God gives warnings, Alex, and we need to heed those warnings. And anything like that, that you, it's replacing something that you need. And I'm going to use this illustration. My wife, years ago at the church where I pastored here in Tupelo, Mississippi for 28 years, we did something. I told you about it before. We did a Mayberry Christmas program. Yeah, and anyway, my wife and I were talking about what can we do with Otis, because you got to have Otis if you're going to be in Mayberry. And Jan came up with this line, and Barney says, "Oh, Otis, you just don't seem the same anymore." And here's Otis's reply. He said, "You're right, Barney. I don't seem the same, because since I've given up the spirits, plural, alcohol, for the Spirit of God, I don't need it anymore."
Amen.
And listen, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so marijuana, I know they're trying to use it for medicinal purposes, and if they could restrict it, and like alcohol, restrict it only for that, I think, well, there's probably a purpose for it. But I know marijuana now, the plant's a lot more powerful than it used to be back even in the hippie days, Alex.
Listen, I want to say I appreciate the caller calling in. I appreciate your honesty. You know, marijuana is still, on the federal level, an illegal drug, and it's been called a gateway drug because it leads to other things. And let me just say this. I thank God, you know, even when I was in college and I went to UNC Greensboro and there were drugs all around, and I never, ever had a part of that, because even before I was saved, I just watched all the people that did that kind of stuff. Their lives were just unraveling. And so we got to remember, as born-again Christians especially, that we are stewards. That's why, you know, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, everything is permissible, but not everything is expedient. Therefore, I will let nothing rule over me. And I'll just say this too. Bert, I was reading this morning an article about vaping, and how that a day of vaping contains enough lead as 19 packs of cigarettes. And I just want to say, as a born-again Christian, pray about the stewardship of your body.
Amen.
You know, and certainly no Christian should do something illegal like marijuana. And despite these dispensaries and these, you know, by the way, suddenly as medical marijuana was legalized, the whole wide world all of a sudden has glaucoma,
it is.
Hey, stay clean.
Amen.
For Jesus. That's what I'm trying to say, folks. Stay clean. Hang on to your dreams. Stay clean for Jesus.
Thank you, Justin. We're going to go to Arkansas. JW, I noticed you have a personal testimony. Got about 30 seconds. Go ahead, man.
Okay, you've done everything that I ever wanted to do, but here's what I got. The man that wanted to know the Bible, he needs to listen to y'all's program every day. Y'all are going to quote scriptures that go and cover everything, but he also needs to read the Word. And the only thing that's true about the Word is it's the truth.
Woo!
Now,
amen.
I'm going to leave you with one last thing. I got 2 seconds to go. They may have found the tooth, but they didn't find
the body. Whoa! Amen. JW, thank you. What a way to end Fire Away Friday. Great testimony. And we do say, Alex and I are going to do everything we can. We're going to stick to the Word, aren't we, Alex?
We are. And folks, hey, let me encourage you. Pray for this nation. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Be in church on Sunday. Be in the house of God on Sunday. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. If you would, tell somebody about the American Family Radio Network. But most of all, tell everybody about Jesus Christ. Blessings to you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.